This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki from Nashville, Tennessee, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, the most popular morning drive radio show for horse lovers worldwide. It's March 7th, episode 1375, and this episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning. We hope you're all well. I want to welcome author, best-selling author, Lisa Wysocki on with us. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me. This is always fun.
Well, thank you for filling in for Jamie, who's off having fun in Vegas. And we hope she's back on Wednesday, but it depends, I guess, how much money she lost, whether she could drive home or not.
So, I guess she will probably have some great Vegas stories unless she wants to keep all that in Vegas. You know how that goes.
Jamie doesn't keep anything to herself ever. So, you've heard her on the show. She pretty much tells it all. So now, but she was on crutches with her big broken foot boot. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, any place you go in Vegas, even if you stay in your own hotel, it's like 10 miles of walking.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I've been to Vegas a number of times and you just can't get anywhere from where you are. So hopefully, you know, hopefully she just rounded up some people just maybe to carry her around.
You know, I stayed at, what's an MGM? It's one of those, the one that's right by the convention center. It's the big one that's right
by the MGM Grand or Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, it was one of those. And yeah, that are 10, you know, like 100 million rooms.
Yes.
And I get my key and I go walk the literally what seemed like a mile to my room, you know, because you're going down after corridor after corridor after corridor to get to your room.
Sure.
Get there, the key doesn't work.
No way.
So I have to turn around and with all my luggage and walk all the way back down the elevator, all the way back through the casino, because you have to go through the casino to get anywhere.
Of course.
To the front desk. They give me another set of keys. I get back up and I'll be damned if they didn't work a second time. So then I thought, I'm going to be smart about this. One, I'm tired of carrying my luggage the 12 miles through the casino every time I have to go back. So I called the front desk on my phone.
Well,
and I
smart.
Made them come up and bring me keys. And it took about 20 minutes, but somebody finally brought the keys. Meantime, I am sitting on my luggage in the hallway waiting for somebody to show up with a key that worked.
I thought you were going to tell me that you laid down and took a nap right there.
I felt like it. Let me tell you, after that, I was tired. If you're going to have your key not work, which happens to all of us, right, when we
yes.
check into hotels, but you do not want it to happen in Vegas.
You do
not, because it
no.
is literally a mile to the front desk.
Oh.
That was my one fun experience in Vegas. I have lots more, but that's the yeah. one. Anyway, it's so good to have you here. We're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on in your life, as well as other fun stuff this morning. Jennifer's going to fill us in.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, following our first of the week headline review, Dr. Gordon Chang is going to stop by with everything you ever wanted to know about antioxidants. And then riding drag through the show, the Wiley voice of Horse Nation, Leslie Wiley, serves up a list of ways to get booted from your boarding barn. Oh, that'll be fun. So stay tuned for the phrase.
Yeah, we had to boot a few when we had our boarding barn.
Oh, wow. I got booted once.
You got booted.
I did.
All right, we're going to have to hear that story. All right, we're going to hear that story a little later. Don't forget that one, Jennifer. Write that down. We'll make sure we get back to that. Well, before we get into the fun of today's show, I do have a serious note here. Olivia Inglis, who is from a well-known equestrian family in Australia, at the age of 17, unfortunately passed away during the cross-country course of an event there. And we just want to, you know, say our thoughts and prayers are with the family and the entire eventing community in Australia. You know, we have a lot of listeners in Australia. It's now our second largest listening base. And I heard from one of our listeners this morning about this. So unfortunately, she died at the scene. So I don't know what kind of catastrophic fall it was, but the horse remains in stable condition. The event was canceled immediately, and they're actually offering counseling for anybody that was witnessed the incident. So
that's good, because that can be tragic on so many levels, and particularly for the family to lose, you know, a child like that. It's devastating.
So our best to them, and we're thinking about them. All right, well, on with our show and a daily winning time. Well, who could I know? I mean, I know you guys are going to get sick of me talking about Scooter, but what other pony in the world can come up with these kind of numbers? So my daily winning goes to Scooter. So how many times has the Scooter water video been posted on your Facebook page, Lisa?
Oh, countless. I can't even count. Every time I log on to Facebook, there it is. It's just hysterical.
Well, this is the numbers, and we've been giving updates, and the listeners are rather proud of the fact that they all know Scooter from the beginning. So he is at 159,000 shares, 7,000 comments, 58,000 likes. And we went on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page from 12,000 likes to almost, well, it's going to be over 30,000 likes, I think, before the show's done this morning. All in a matter of a week. So it just goes to show you that viral is crazy. Okay, now we're at 29,857 likes. We're going to see before the end of the show if we can go over 30,000 likes on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
Yeah, so everybody who's listening has to blast it out to all their friends.
Yeah, you have to tell all your friends about Horses in the Morning. Get them to like it, because we only have 150 to go. So we should be able to accomplish that. This video, and in case you've been living under a rock, and you really would have to be not to see this on Facebook.
Yes.
But it's the Scooter, it's my little rescue pony splashing around in the water video that we put out a year ago. It went a little viral back then, got about 1 million views, and then 30,000 shares, and then stopped. And then somebody last weekend found it. I don't know who Point Zero was. I don't know who the alpha was that started this, but thank you, whoever it was. And now, in a matter of a week, we're up to 5.6 million views.
That is just mind-boggling. I mean, can you just even imagine 5.6 million people? I mean, that's like the whole state of New Jersey.
Yeah, it's Watch My Pony. So, you know, on Friday, I declared Scooter kind of the de facto most popular pony in the world, but there's no question now. He is the most popular pony in the world.
Yes, and I'm sure he's taking that status to heart and you know,
oh, his head's as big as it could be, and he's a little pain in the ass all weekend. So there you go. Actually, I drove him on Saturday, and he was a pure saint. He was really good on Saturday. He was actually lazy on Saturday, so that was nice. He didn't bolt with me anyway.
So, that's nice. So it's always a good thing.
So then I post another video on Saturday morning. He likes to eat the Spanish moss that has fallen down from the live oak trees every morning when we put him out. It's like a snack. So, and he goes and finds the fresh, you know, good Spanish moss. Can't be sitting on the ground for a while. That's licky. So he goes and finds the fresh one. And there he is with these huge strands of Spanish moss hanging out of his mouth. And it's Scooter, so he's like cute as the Dickens. So I go over and I just did a little video, like 30-second video. That video now has 5,000 views, 46 shares, and 360 likes in 2 days. I'm going to run him for president. We should start a Scooter for President campaign.
He is by far my top candidate by choice. I think he's would do
cuter
a great job
than either of the other major candidates, and probably smarter, actually.
Well, he has great taste in nutrition.
Yes,
you know.
he's clean. He likes to take baths.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's been funny reading some of the comments. You'll appreciate this. Some of the comments, because now it's going into the mainstream world. I can't tell you how many websites have put this out, but it's in the mainstream world. So all the people commenting now are not horse people. And it's just funny to read some of the comments from the non-horse people. It's a chuckle.
Yes. Yes. But think of all, you know, he's like a goodwill ambassador. Think about all the people that he's getting now to like horses.
Scooter for president. I'm telling you. You know what we thought about over the weekend, Lisa? Oh, you'd probably like this. You know the most interesting man in the world commercials?
Yes.
We should do some of those video commercials for the most interesting pony in the world and have
him
doing
great.
Some bizarre stuff.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes. Yes. Or you could do something like 101 things that Scooter can do.
Oh, there you go. I like that. It allows us to have 101
videos. I like
videos.
That one. 101 things Scooter can do. He can eat carrots, eat horse treats, eat apples, eat sugar cubes.
Can we find 101 things he can eat? Because that's about it. I like that, though. There's 101 videos right there.
There you go. See?
See, we made a big mistake. We never started his own Facebook page when we got him. We should have started his own Facebook page.
Well, you can do it now.
But, you know, I'd rather have it go out in horses in the morning and we get all the publicity.
Sure, there you go.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why let it be over there? Well, we can get all the love.
So your lapse in judgment actually turned out to be a good thing.
My big lapse in judgment was not branding the video with our logo.
Oh, well, yeah.
That was a big lapse in judgment.
Wait, can you do that later? I mean, can you do that?
I can't take it down. You know, once you lose that, I can't replace it. So, and we did try to do that with a second video we put up. Of course, that one didn't go anywhere. You know, it's the original one that has taken off. So no, we can't, we're stuck. That's why I put it actually in the description. I put horses in the morning in the description. That's where all the new likes are coming from. But anyway, if somebody's listening for the first time, welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here and, we hope you give us a week. That's what we tell everybody. You have to give us a week. We've been doing this for 6 years, 1300 episodes. So there's a lot of inside stuff that goes on. You'll catch on. Just listen for a week. You may hate it your first day, but after a couple of days, you'll start to like it. And then you may even tolerate us after a week. So that's what we hope, anyway. I want to welcome our new auditors, Christina Mysek, Andrew Dixon, and Geraldine Brown all came in over the weekend. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Auditors donate as little as $1 a month to the cause here at the Horse Radio Network. If you appreciate the shows and you like the shows and you want to give back a little bit, we appreciate anything that you can give, and half of that money gets split up among the full-time hosts we have here. And so they get the share in that, and they really do appreciate it because they certainly don't make much doing this. And the auditors also get into our super secret Facebook page that is the most active Facebook page in the world. I cannot keep up. So there's about 100 conversations going on in there right now. If you want to be part of that super secret page and be with some of the coolest, most inviting fans that I've seen anywhere and anything I've done before, you'll find it with the Horse Radio Network auditors. It's the most positive group I've ever been in.
That is awesome.
So that's how you can do that. Just go to Horse Radio Network or Horses in the Morning. There's a little banner on the left side of the page on how to become an auditor. All right. It is time for your Daily Whinny.
Well, my Daily Whinny isn't nearly as fun or as interesting as yours, Glenn, but I was this past weekend one of the clinicians at the Alabama Horse Fair, and so I just want to give my shout out to all the great people I met down in Montgomery, Alabama, and all the old friends and new friends. It was a really great event, and Lynn Palm was there, and Dan James, and I was there, and just a bunch of, you know, really wonderful horse people, and I just got lucky. We had, you know, there were booths all the way around the Coliseum, but most of the booths didn't have a view of the arena. And whoever did the booth planning put me right at the head of the opening, so you know, my crew and I could just watch the whole thing as we were talking to people and selling books, and I just met so many wonderful people. It was an awesome weekend.
Now, you've been to a million fairs with what you do. Horse shows, expos, fairs, all of that. So what did you see? There's always one thing you take away or you see or you know, that you've never seen before at one of these. So what was your takeaway or that fun thing you never saw before?
Yeah, you know, they had a really great trail challenge, and that's something that's becoming really popular now at some of these horse fairs and events is the obstacle course. And my session Sunday morning was actually on how horses see and hear and smell and experience trail obstacles differently than humans do. So, you know, you're approach and your thought process for getting through the obstacle course is much different after understanding how the horse sees it. So they had some really interesting obstacles. They had like a box filled with crushed water bottles that the horses had to walk through. So that was kind of interesting. And I am always really into like recycling, upcycling, repurposing, all of that. And I thought, wow, what a great use for all the recycled water bottles in my barn. You know,
yeah.
Just put them in a big wooden box and let's have the horses walk through them. And they had a lot of really unique obstacles. They had a kind of a rolling wooden bridge that kind of it was wavy. It was solid, but it was kind of rolling up and down, which was really interesting. And so I really enjoyed seeing some of the different obstacles that their people had set up. And watching the horse's reaction.
Well, you got Jennifer's. You piqued Jennifer's interest. She loves doing the obstacle courses, and so the fact that how the horse sees it. You know, I never quite thought about it from that perspective before.
Yeah, and you know, horses don't see reds, yellows, and oranges as well as we do. And of course, every obstacle course has these orange cones. You know, which if the footing in the arena or the footing is kind of grayish, then the horse isn't going to see that very well. And they see whites like really bright. So if it's outside and you've got a white barrel and the sun is shining on it, the horse might not be able to see exactly where it is. If you've got a black tarp, it's like the horse is going to think it's like a bottomless pit because they can't see exactly where it is because it's just so glaringly dark. So, you know, there's just a lot of things like that you you really need to take into consideration. And then the smell of the different things, you know, you've got the smell of the concession stand and all the other horses and all the people. And so that might block some of their ability to sense what the actual obstacle is.
I think I read that those obstacle classes, indoor and outdoor, are one of the fastest growing horse sports around.
Yes, this thing went on for, I don't know, it was like 8 hours. They had 8 hours of competitors going through this thing at different various levels and classes, of course. They had a junior class and a novice class and a pro class and that type of thing. But it was huge. And I can't tell you the number of people who came in, you know, specifically for that and then, you know, stayed to watch some of the other things at the fair.
Any funny moments where the horse was just like, I'm out of here, or the rider was out of there, or?
Oh yeah, there was one poor horse who came up to it was just a simple bridge obstacle, but I mean, this horse planted his feet and he just wasn't going to go anywhere. He was just bug-eyed and just decided he wasn't going to move. And so even after the rider got off, he wasn't going to move. He was just like safe in his little spot right there. And that's where he was going to stay.
Call the winch.
I know. It's about what it was, poor thing. But he eventually got unstuck and they let the rider continue that she bypassed.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll take one of those horses that just stands here and won't move as opposed to the one that bolts. I mean,
yes.
It's a lot better to have the one that doesn't stands there and goes, I'm just not moving.
Yes.
Yeah. So you figure this out. I'll still take that any day.
Yeah, but you know they're doing some of these obstacle things with driving now too. So
yes, they are. Yep. Yeah. Obviously, we can't jump stuff.
Well, no, not yet anyway.
But little bridges and you know different terrains and stuff like that they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's just a lot of fun, and I think it's really great for the horses. It stimulates their brain, and you know it doesn't matter if you run barrels or do dressage or you know these obstacles are really great processing things for the horses.
We're lucky because Lynn Palm's place is only a couple miles from us, and
yes,
she has
we get to go play there.
She has a great natural course that she built.
Yes,
and so you can actually go over. She has certain dates you can go over and rent it for an hour, and you just go play.
That's fun.
So that's nice because you get to do all the obstacles as many times as you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Scooter was a good boy. Of course, Scooter's famous.
Yeah. I did Scooter.
I actually saw some pictures you guys posted of that.
Yeah. Scooter in hand doing it. And the in-hand classes of that, did they have in-hand classes too?
I don't think they did at this event, but I've seen them at other events. Yeah, that's also, you know, in ACTHA, the American Competitive Trail Horse Association, they added an in-hand class for this season. And I think that's really important, too, for, you know, people whose riding skills just aren't quite there yet, or even for young horses or horses that are just learning about obstacles. It's a, you know, I'm such a big believer in ground training that I'm loving those classes.
The cool ones are the ones who can do it free. So, you know, they don't have the lead rope on the horse. That is cool.
It's the Liberty. Liberty.
You know, it's really cool to see them at Liberty doing it.
It is. And, you know, I like ground driving. And so I ground drive my horses over obstacles. And that's a lot of fun, too.
Well, I want to talk to you, too, because you had something else very exciting happen in your life here, which is going to create a lot more work for you.
Yes. You know, I'm a therapeutic riding instructor, and I have a small therapeutic riding center called Colby's Army. And we moved last month from a shared lease 5-acre facility to a facility that we have a lease purchase on. It's 54 acres.
Wow.
So, yes. And so going from 5 acres to 54 acres is a huge, huge change. And Glenn, we had items that had been donated that had been stored in 5 different locations. And if we made the circle of the 5 different locations, that was 100 miles.
Whoa.
So we had to gather things from 5 different locations and bring them to this new facility, which is 40 miles away from the old facility. And we also had to put up a number of acres of T-post fencing. Our board of directors wanted us to put in temporary fencing so that we didn't make a mistake with the, you know, the permanent post and rail fencing. So we've been pounding T-posts for weeks.
Oh, you got good biceps now.
I have great biceps. I have back muscles for the first time in my life.
Were you doing it with the hand pounder or the tractor pounder?
The hand pounder.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm good for about 20 or 25 posts a day. And then, you know, I've got to let a volunteer or another staff.
Well, you must have been hitting rock or shale then, if you're
doing
that many
a day. No, we were so fortunate because, you know, here in the Nashville area in February, it was, you know, 40 degrees, maybe during the day, 45 you know, just a lot of rain, so the ground was soft. And the only problem we had is in trying to get our fence rows lined up. We've got one fence line that we were putting up on a windy day, and so the tape measure was kind of curving, so our fence is kind of curved to the wind.
You know, it gets that way by itself anyway, so
yeah,
might as well just start it off curvy. Ours would never straight either, and then we can never get the posts all the same depth either.
We did ours. We marked ours. We took the little Sharpie and marked them.
Oh, you were official.
We were, yeah.
Look at you guys.
So it looks great. We got the horses moved a week or so ago, and they're doing well. And so we're going to open for lessons at Colby's Army, hopefully in May.
Remember the old days of standing on the pickup truck and pounding it with the sledgehammer?
When I was a kid, you know, I had to do a lot of that, but I remember taking that sledgehammer and pounding the T-post, except my aim is so bad I'd miss the T-post, and just the weight of the sledgehammer would pull me off the truck, and I'd
I remember a few thumbs that were destroyed or hands that were destroyed. Nobody wanted to be the holder.
And then
if you hit it just wrong, the whole thing vibrated through your entire body if you were the holder.
Well, that even happens with the T-post pounder now.
Oh, does it?
We decided we're going to spend the $25 and get the hand pounder, and which was well worth the cost. But if you just didn't hit it quite right, boy, you'd got that vibration thing going.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the new place. Going from 5 to 50 is quite a jump.
Oh, it is. It is. And all of our volunteers and participants at Colby's Army, we're all just thrilled. We've got a creek. We've got a beaver dam. We've got a blue heron we inherited named Henry. And we have a bat in the barn named Shadow. So we're getting to know all our
only one bat in the barn?
As far as we know.
Oh, there'll be more.
Yeah, that's true. When there's one, there's 100.
The email will go out. This lady hasn't shot me yet. We're safe.
Exactly.
So a couple things here before we get on with our first guest. Dr. Chang's going to be joining us here in a little bit talking about antioxidants, and then Leslie's coming up later in the show. But I wanted to mention next week already, we are leaving. Mary and I are descending on Lexington, Kentucky. I know some of our listeners are going in as well for Road to the Horse, and we're going to be providing the only free live coverage of Road to the Horse. We'll be doing an hour and a half Friday morning, an hour and a half Saturday morning here on Horses in the Morning Live, and then putting it out on the feed immediately after. We'll have all kinds of guests. And then Sunday, which is Sunday the 20th, we will be live for 4 hours, and we'll be covering the finals, so the final competition. They actually get the colts in, and they train them for two and a half days, and then they compete with them on the final afternoon, and we'll be doing live play-by-play of that. It's the first time that that's happening, and I'm really excited to do it with Mary Kitzmiller. We have lots of fun things planned for that show. We're going to have lots of guest co-hosts dropping in. So if you're into that, if you like listening to Mary, and if you want to hear all about the world's premier trained colt starting competition, then you're going to want to tune in to us. And you'll find all the details on our Horse in the Morning Facebook page, on the Road to the Horse Facebook page, and also on our horsesinthemorning.com website. Host accommodations are provided by the Clarion Lexington. We appreciate them putting us up every time we go to Lexington, Kentucky. Well, let's get to, we have time for one or two news stories here. I have a story for you, and I have a little bit of a sound file with this. There is I don't know if you recognize the name Victoria Pendleton.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she is an Olympic cyclist that has won everything. I mean, Yes. She's out of England. She's just won everything. She had 12 world championships, and she got to be 35 years old and decided she was going to try a different kind of saddle and was going to try riding. So she wanted to be a jockey. So she decided she was just going to learn to be a jockey after being this world champion cyclist. So I have a sound file here. This was after her first race. She had just run a race, and she came in second or third in this race. So it was pretty good. So let's take a listen to what she had to say about it.
Can you talk us through sort of what has gone into getting you to this point? Because we're only 4 months back to April when you hadn't even sat on a horse. Yes. You've come a long way.
So yeah, this is week 19 of me ever riding a horse.
You sound like an athlete there, a sports person.
Week 19, yes. So and 18 of those weeks I've been training. So it started off with Yogi Breisner. He was coaching me. I started off on the lunge, obviously, first few days on Chris King's horse, actually, that he won Blenheim Horse Trials on, the Secret Weapon. He was the first steed that I had the pleasure of having my first riding lesson on. Quite a formidable animal. Just started off in a menage. Within a couple of weeks, Yogi had me jumping over some small jumps, which I couldn't believe. And then we went straight up into a racing saddle and short stirrups. I haven't really done any kind of long stirrup work at all, because it was all with a very much focus to getting in a racing saddle. And we balanced this racing saddle on top of the Secret Weapon, and it looked quite comical, really, because he's such a huge horse in this little saddle. Took a few spills early on, as you would, falling out the side door, as it's known. Had to buy cakes for the yard. Now I've just been riding out, and it's been such phenomenal weather and just an incredible experience. And Alan Hill and Lornie Hill have been such incredible support for me, sort of honing the racing side of the skills. So, and I feel very lucky that the owners of Mighty Mambo let me ride him today.
So what from here on in? Because March 2016 is obviously the goal, the climax, the end point. What happens in between now and then?
Just riding out, schooling a bit. I've already started schooling over some small brush fences.
Let's take her out there. What happened since between now and then is she did her first steeplechase and actually didn't do so well. She came off. She's actually come off in several races since then. And she was hoping to get into the Cheltenham Festival, which is their big one over there.
Right.
And hopefully going to do a kind of fox hunter chase race that they have there. Well, the recent falls may be I don't know that they're going to let her in, but she's come a long way. If you think about never having ridden before to riding in a, you know, in England in these crazy races they have over there, not too bad.
No, and you know what really strikes me is her enthusiasm for the sport. You know, yeah. I mean, you can tell that she's really excited about this and really wanting to make a go of this. So, you know, if they don't let her in this time, then maybe next year, if when she's had a little bit more experience, if she hangs in there.
Yeah, if she hangs in there, she should be. I mean, she's tiny. You know, she is a tiny person, so she's a, you know, she's jockey size. But yeah, so we wish her the best of luck, more power to her. But it is a little different than what she was used to. The other saddle didn't have a mind of its own. Well, sure some days she thought it did, but it's like,
no, yeah. There's a lot more that goes into it when you've got a live saddle, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. Well, we're coming up to our first guest here. He stops by once a month from one of our favorite companies, and that's Omega Alpha Equine. Hey, Dr. Chang.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Good. Jamie is off today. She is in Las Vegas losing all her money. I haven't seen any reports on Facebook. And you know how it is, Dr. Chang, when your friends go to Vegas and they're winning? They post that on Facebook. Yes. When they're losing, they don't post anything on Facebook.
Well, I was just talking to Jennifer, and I said, you know, at least I know with the plane ticket, you have to pre-buy that thing.
That's
so
true.
At least she has a ride home.
That's true. That's true. You never want to go to Vegas without the return trip plane.
That's right. Make sure you have the ride home.
Right. Well, and have you? I don't know if you know Lisa Wysocki. She's a best-selling author and trainer, and she joined. Actually, she's our number one go-to co-host here when Jamie's out.
Nice to meet you, Dr. Chang.
It's a pleasure, it's mine. We've never had the opportunity, but it's nice to meet you on the radio at least.
Absolutely.
Well, now, Dr. Chang, we're talking about antioxidants today.
Yes, we are. So when I was told we were going to talk about antioxidants, I was saying, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about antioxidants out there, and there's a lot of information about antioxidants also. One of the biggest myths I find with antioxidants is that a lot of people think that antioxidants only quench one single thing, which is the oxygen free radical. Now, that's double dutch to most people. But what free radicals are basically very reactive chemical species that are easily generated in the body. But it's very important. Free radicals play a very important role. One of the things that free radicals do, as you know, if you have the inflammatory response, you know, how, you know, you get injured, the white cells rush into the area wherever the injury occurs. Well, when that white cell degranulates, or meaning breaks apart, one of the things that they release are free radicals, right? The problem, now, if you contain the free radicals in a small area, inflammation is a very good thing because it's a way of getting rid of dead tissue, injured tissue. It's a way of killing off bacteria. It's a way of killing off viruses. Because this is how the body kills off most of these bacteria, right? So they're very good. The problem with free radicals, think of them like an atomic bomb. When they go off, the reaction that they generate basically spreads. And you have to have a lot of antioxidants in place at the right place at the right time to basically soak up these extra free radicals so it stops the reaction.
Wow. Now, Dr. Chang, correct me if I'm wrong, but horses can pick up free radicals through pesticides and insecticides and UV rays and all of that. Is that correct?
Yeah. Picking it up is a misnomer because it's not like a bacteria you're walking around and you ingest it. What happens is that it's generated because of the biochemistry in the body. It's generated almost everywhere in the system. Like UV light itself generates free radicals, right? Mm. So I think there are many different ways of handling free radicals. Even things like, you know, like people use omega-3 oils, right?
Right.
Omega-3 oils is one of the good things to help stop a free radical because what happened with omega-3 oils? Omega-3 oils are, what do you call it, unsaturated fatty acids. And if you look at, and this is just one aspect of it. There are many aspects of omega-3 oils, okay? But one of the things that omega-3 does is that they get incorporated into the cell membrane itself. Okay? And basically, if you think about a cell membrane, if it gets attacked by a free radical, what happens is that these free fatty acids can be severed. And if it's severed by a free radical, every time it's a reaction of one free radical with the fatty acid, it generates two free radicals. And so you can see what happens then. It could spread. And once that reaction spreads, it creates a big hole in the cell membrane itself. Once you have a big hole in the cell membrane, it destroys the cell. So if you think of that on a larger scale, so things like ulceration of the skin, right? That's one of the visible aspects you can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what about things like arthritis or inflammation?
Well, inflammation is a free radical generated or free radical mediated response also, right? This is where you have a lot of things going awry. Even something like a sore shoulder, you know the reason why you're stiff and achy, right? It's because you have low-grade inflammation going on. Low-grade inflammation is also fueled because of free radical generation. So a lot of antioxidants help with the free radicals.
Right. And, you know, I have a therapeutic riding center and we have some older horses. And of course, every day our horses get older. And I think a lot of the listeners also have older horses or aging horses. And so do free radicals then build up in our horses as they age if we don't do something to get rid of them?
They build up in the sense that our mechanisms to cope with them gets degraded with time. It's like anything else. The example I'll use, let's think you have a liver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the liver regenerates very well, right? The liver could put up with a lot of stuff. Think of an alcoholic. An alcoholic could drink for years without damaging his liver, seriously,
right.
Okay? But then, for whatever reason, there's a magic day. One day, he wakes up and everything hits the fan, because then he goes to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, you have cirrhosis, right? Now, you know, what happens is that the compensation mechanism to compensate with all the damage, right, gets used up over time. So it's a good way. What you have to do is to increase your intake of antioxidants. Now, antioxidants could be anything, right?
Right.
Like vitamins, right? Like vitamin C is a very good antioxidant. Vitamin E is also a good antioxidant. Now, usually you want to take C and E together because vitamin E will sit in the membrane of the cells, right? And
okay.
That's the first point of access to a lot of free radicals. So if you could stop it there, Bob's the uncle, you're doing good, right? Also, vitamin C, however, doesn't sit in the cell membrane. So vitamin C sits in the aqueous portion of the body fluid. So it'll sit inside the cells, it'll sit outside the cells in the blood and so on, right?
Right.
But what a lot of people don't realize is that vitamin C regenerates vitamin E. Now, the reason that's important is because vitamin E, because it sits in the cell membrane, it takes a long time to get the bloody thing into the cell membrane. It takes a long time for the bloody thing to get out. So if you use it up fairly quickly in the cell membrane, it's just sitting there and used up, right?
Got it.
So the fact that the vitamin C comes and regenerates it makes it active. And that's an important aspect. That's why you should always take C and E. Now, I will tell you, everybody and their mother says to me, but horses don't need C because their body generates C. And it's like anything else. Yes, your body generates C, but here's the catch. It may not generate enough.
Enough, yeah. And, you know,
right?
I've been on your website and I actually use some of your products, but, you know, how do, for example, I've got an aging horse who's a little creaky, 17. He's a former event horse and he's always, you know, a little stiff on those colder mornings. And, you know, how do we know which of the products that we need and how do we know which kind of antioxidant our horse needs?
That's a million-dollar question. I always sit down with a lot of people, and I'll say to you, you know, if I sit down with you and I try to explain how all these things work, you'll say to me, Gordon, I have to take everything, right? But the problem is, you know, common sense has to come in because literally you cannot take everything.
Right, exactly.
You know, just because you only have 24 hours in a day, how much time can you be spent dispensing product out?
Right.
And how much can the horse consume, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things I say with all of these, if you have an older horse, treat treat the part that aches them the most. So if you're talking about creakiness, achiness, etc., you give them the anti-inflammatory products that we have, like the Cinerex, the anti-flam, and so on, to treat that particular ailment, right? But on the other hand, I always say to people, take the Minirec. Because the Minirec is a broad spectrum product that has the vitamins, the minerals, a lot of B vitamins, right? Mm-hmm. Take the Vantiox. Now, the problem with Minirec and Vantiox is that it's a prevention type product, right? It's just basically making sure your body has enough raw materials to do its thing, right?
Yeah.
And when I say do its thing, because a lot of these ingredients that we have in any of these products, they have multiple roles. Right. And sometimes people just think, oh, vitamin C is good for the cold, for example, if we're talking about people. They don't realize that vitamin C also is responsible for making sure your body can make collagen, which is the underlying elastic tissue in the body. It's also important in strengthening the ligaments. Right. It's it's responsible for, you know, a whole bunch of different things, even the skin. Right. It's important for elasticity in the skin, all those type of things.
And that's so important in our horses, you know, and I see a lot of horses that they'll have a shelly hoof or they've got flaky skin or their hair coat is dull, you know, and the owners aren't real sure, you know, they're trying all these supplements and they're not real sure why the horse, you know, is looking like that.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes with these things, you got to do a broad spectrum, like I hate to say it, like a shotgun blast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got to make sure they have enough omega-3 oils in their feed, right? Now, I know a lot of people say, well, we get omega-3s in our pelleted feed, right? Uh-huh. Again, is how much do you get? And one of the things that people don't realize, the process of pelletization of feed usually generates a lot of heat. And when you generate heat sometimes can oxidize some of these omega-3s.
Right.
So what it basically does is that you started off with omega-3s, but you really don't have omega-3s, right?
A lot of it depends on how
it's put in, right?
Yeah.
But the bottom line is always, I say quantity. How much do you consume? You have to remember, a horse is a big horse, right?
Sure.
But with any of these things is that you got to give it, if you're going to do it, it's a religion thing. You do it day in, day out. So even if you're giving them smaller quantities on a regular basis, right, you do get a much better effect because you're doing it day in, day out, right?
So yeah,
it has
a chance to
build.
How long, you know, if you start adding more omega-3s, how long would it take on average for a horse owner to see some, to see some results?
If they're using a good product, you should see results within a month. And what you will normally see is that the coat is usually better.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you have to sort of visually seeing, right?
Right.
From the outside, you see the coat is shinier, more lustrous, right?
Right.
That's part of the omega-3 effect, and it's also part of the fact that you're giving them a high-fat diet, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, you don't want to give them so much that they get fat. But if you're exercising your horse, meaning that, you know, if it's a show horse, you're racing, you are eventing, you are jumping, you are in dressage and you're working this horse out,
mm-hmm.
you know, usually whatever you give, oil-wise you give, is not so much that he's going to get fat on it, right? If the horse is sitting in the backyard just twiddling his thumbs, and, you know, there's a little bit too much love sometimes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he brings us up every time he's on the show because he knows I overfeed my pony. It happens every time. I've been better, I'll have you know.
But, you know, then there's a whole other subset of horses and horse owners that, you know, they can never keep enough weight on those older thoroughbreds and things like that.
Usually that's an ulcer issue. I really believe that's an ulcer issue because people want to look at these things as a one fix. And what they don't realize, everything is interconnected in the horse. So if you're looking at, for example, an older thoroughbred that can't keep its weight on, a lot of the time there's something going on in the gut, right? And because you have to remember, the gut is where all that food gets absorbed. So if you're pumping in the food and you're not seeing the weight put on, and that means the absorption is an issue, right? And absorption can be because the food is not being broken down properly, right? So meaning that it goes in as food, it comes back out the other end as food, right? Meaning that you know, none of the proteins got broken up into amino acids to get absorbed. None of the fat got broken down to free fatty acids to get absorbed. None of the carbs got broken down into simple sugars to get absorbed, right? Because the basis of all of these things is that, be it human, be it dog, be it horses, Mother Nature works the same way with all of the animals, in that you take in food whole, for example, like a carbohydrate, right? The body has to really digest it, and digestion basically means it takes whatever it is, breaks it down to the simple components, which in the case of carbohydrates are sugars, so like glucose, and then the body absorbs the glucose, and then the glucose gets recombined by the different mechanisms in the cell to make different carbohydrates that the body needs to use. Same thing with proteins, same thing with fats.
Now, right? Dr. Chang, so I have a sister-in-law that has a malabsorption problem, actually. Is that in itself a thing, or is malabsorption a thing, or is the malabsorption always caused by something else?
It could. There are many different reasons for malabsorption. For example, in humans, I know, if let's say you had surgery where they cut your small intestine out, right? Mm-hmm. Or they cut your large intestine out. You have malabsorption because how absorption works is that as things get digested and it works its way down the GI tract, right? The gastrointestinal tract. What happens is that the body absorbs it. It's an equilibrium process and it's absorbed. So if you cut off a huge chunk, all that chunk that was used for absorption, all of a sudden that chunk is missing, right? So normally, let's say you would absorb, say, a kilogram of nutrients. All of a sudden, if that chunk was responsible for, say, absorbing 300 grams of nutrients, all of a sudden you're missing 300 grams of nutrients in your everyday absorption. Right.
Yeah.
So these are some of the issues.
Now, in her case, and we're talking humans here. I want to correlate it to horses in a second. But in her case, it was so interesting because we've talked about this before with you, Dr. Chang, and, you know, with Dr. Wendy here, too, at the network. Is she, you know, the traditional doctor couldn't figure out why she was losing weight, why she was, you know, just getting sicker and sicker, and finally sent her to really kind of a holistic doctor, a traditional Chinese medicine doctor. And that's where he actually did extensive blood tests and found this problem where she wasn't absorbing any of the nutrients, and now has since put her on, you know, vitamin supplements and to try and build that back up, has her eating a different diet. And all of a sudden she's feeling better. She's getting back to normal. She's gaining weight again. So, you know, so the question is, does that happen in horses too, or is there always an underlying thing?
Okay. No, definitely could happen in horses. And again, if it happened in horses, again, you remember we talked a little bit of ulcers horses, right?
Right.
Again, the thing with ulcers is that what people don't realize, you give an omeprazole, for example. Omeprazole, I tell you, it's a wonderful product, okay? Don't get me wrong. If I had a horse, I probably wouldn't use it at this point because I know there's something else we can use. But back in the day, before our regenerative product, if I had a horse that had an ulcer that's active, painful, etc., you put the horse on omeprazole. But one of the things that we know about omeprazole is that it inhibits acid production. And in a horse, the acid does several things. One of the first thing it does is it prevents parasites. It prevents bad bacteria from getting access to the lower small intestine, to the large intestine. And that's good because it maintains, if you inhibit all these things getting there, you have a healthier horse, right? One of the other things that it does is that it actually hydrolyzes a lot of protein. And what I mean by hydrolyzes is that it breaks it down, right, to a point where your enzymes could get to attack the protein. So if you're feeding it grass, one of the things it also does, it breaks apart a lot of that cellulose cell material so that your enzymes and your bacteria in the lower hindgut can get access to it so you can actually get some nutrients out of it. So if you inhibit the acid production, so what happens? All of this stuff goes through, right? The bacteria,
without
the enzymes,
being broken down. Right.
Without being broken down, and the bacteria and the enzymes don't get a chance to attack it. So you can literally feed the animal and watch him starve, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's not an all or nothing process, okay? I mean, omeprazole, even though it tones it down, it doesn't cut off all the acid altogether, but you need a lot more acid if you're going to break down vegetable matter, for example.
Got it. Yeah, Dr. Chang, I have I run into some people too who sometimes will feed their horse Greek yogurt with the, you know, because it's got the probiotic component in it. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that, it's a good idea, but here's the problem with feeding a Greek yogurt. If you're going to go to the supermarket,
it's messy. Buy it,
No. That's messy, you can clean up, Glenn. That's why you have a horse. Horse has staff. You are staff. Okay? You are servants. No. The problem with yogurt that you buy off the supermarket is that in order to, for it to get shelf life, one of the things they do is to pasteurize it. Right? And that pasteurization process kills off all of the probiotics.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so if you're taking it because you want to introduce good bacteria into the gut, it's not a good way of doing it. You're not getting the good bacteria. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, again, it's like anything else. Pasteurization, I think, gets rid of it. It does, like, let's say you have 1 million, it may bring it down to a couple of hundred. Okay? You know what I mean?
I see.
It kills off most of it. Right, and then if you have acids in the stomach, that couple of hundred gets knocked down to maybe 10. Okay, you know what I mean. So, but I mean, yogurt in itself has a lot of nutrients that are beneficial to the animal. But for probiotics, it is not a good way of getting.
And that's the one you hear all the
bacteria.
Time, though, right?
Yeah. Now, if you make your own probiotics, meaning your own yogurt, right? Because you can make your own yogurt. Right? And people have been doing it for centuries. It's not magic.
Not
right?
People but in America, to, Dr. J.
not the people in the No.
Maybe China, but not America.
I bet you the Mennonites, right?
And so I actually know lots of people who make their own yogurt.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Are they all related to Alton Brown? Because
of course.
But you have to remember something though, right? Do they make enough for their horses? Because you know a horse can consume quite a bit of this stuff, right?
That's true. No, I think they're just making it for their family.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Chang, we're running out of time, but if people want to learn more about this, you're going to do a whole thing on everything you wanted to know about antioxidants in your web classroom. That's the free teleseminar that's held the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. The next webinar is March 28th, and it's on everything you wanted to know about antioxidants. Are going to go in much more detail than he can here with the limited time that we have. You can register. It's easy. Just call 1-800-651-3172. That's 1-800-651-3172. Ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address and entry code, or go to the Omega Alpha website for all the information you need to sign up at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Thanks again, Dr. Chang. It's been fun.
It's been a pleasure.
All right.
It's wonderful to meet you over Skype here.
Same here. Take care.
Hey, Dr. Chang, did we ask you, are you going to Rolex this year?
I probably will not, but I don't know yet.
One of these times we're going to get in the same place. One of these times.
One of these days.
All right, thanks,
well,
Dr.
We're coming from the different parts of the country, unfortunately.
I know.
You know that, right?
No. All right.
So, okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that man is smarter than you and I will ever be.
Oh, I'm just so totally impressed.
He's way above us in the whole smart field.
Yeah, but you know, he can break it down to where the average person can understand it. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, this is a problem that affects, you know, if you own a number of horses throughout time, you're going to be affected by what he was talking about today.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you're going to have that situation. So where the horse is getting skinnier, you don't understand why, or, you know, something's going to be happening that way.
Or your horse is just aging and getting a little creaky, you know?
That's right. Like me.
And me.
Well, now we're going to hear from Equestrian Collections, and then I have a song for you. And then we're going to come back with Leslie Wiley and The Wacky World of Horses by Horse Nation. We'll be right back.
When you need to resupply, replace, update, or invest in the stuff that makes your horse life possible, stop by EquestrianCollections.com first. Browse through some 7,000 boot choices from great brands like Ariat, Boggs, Mountain Horse, Ovation, Smoky Mountain, and more. Outfit yourself in the latest and the greatest. And don't forget your horse. EquestrianCollections.com offers some 400 blankets, sheets, and coolers from Buckus, Amigo, and Rambo by Horseware, Hug, Kensington, Triple Crown Custom, and Weatherbeater, just to name a few, your horse will be warm and dry and stylish this winter. Not sure what type of saddle pad you want? Well, go to Equestrian Collections because they have over 600 different choices. No matter whether you ride English, Western, or bareback around the backyard, EquestrianCollections.com has the most amazing selection of brand name products you are going to find anywhere. So stop by today, EquestrianCollections.com.
Once upon a girl, not even 17. She said across the ocean, she's gonna give the world a chance to live up to her dreams. Wide-eyed like a child, she wanted to believe. But the world she thought would change her knelt before the way she thought the world ought to be. Sophia, can you stop the wheels from turning? Sophia, can you live just for the day? If I had all the answers, would you even stop to listen? Walking in my footsteps, but your head is in the clouds today. Welcome to LA. They'll give you everything. And on the day that you believe you're everything they told you you would be, they take it all away. But she didn't take the part. She said, I'll ride my own horn. They shook their heads and rode her off, but answered to the masters when her songs began to play. Sophia, can you stop the wheels from turning? Sophia, can you live just for the day? If I had all the answers, would you even stop to listen? You're walking in my footsteps, but your head is in the clouds today. I was born a color outside the lines, and I can see a lot of me in you. Not afraid of fire, not afraid to give, not afraid to die, but not afraid to live. Sophia, can you stop the wheels from turning? Sophia, can you live just for the day? If I had all the answers, would you even stop to listen? You're walking in my footsteps, but your head is in the clouds. Sophia, Sophia, if I had all the answers, would you even stop to listen? You're walking in my footsteps, but your head is in the clouds. Walking in my footsteps, but your head is in the clouds today. Oh, Sophia.
Well, that is Sophia by Stephanie Quayle. You can find all of her music at stephaniequayle.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek. I am here with author, trainer, all-around good person, Lisa Wysocki, and you can find her, all her information on all her books and everything at lisawysocki.com. And of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. Now, at the beginning of the show, we had a challenge because Scooter's video has gone so viral that we have now in a week gone from 12,000 likes on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page to a little shy of 30,000, and we wanted to see if we could get over 30,000. Well, I got good news. We're at 29,945.
Oh, yippee.
So, Leslie, before we get to you and officially introduce you, you go over to your Facebook page right now at Horse Nation, and you post on there that everybody should go like our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, and before your interview is done, before we're done with you, we're going to be over. Okay? Did you hear that? Are you there, Leslie?
She's I am laughing. Here. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I can do this many things at once, but I will give it a go.
Okay, well, we'll give you a second or two here while we continue with the show. We'll come back to you in a minute. Just get your duty done. Chop, chop. All right. So we'll be back with Leslie in 1 second. Jamie, in case you're tuning in late, Jamie is out today. She is playing the slots or the blackjack table in Las Vegas with a bunch of friends. So she's having fun right now. She'll be back here on Wednesday and for more fun later in the week. Tomorrow, as a programming note, we have our Endurance Day. Karen will be here for Endurance Day tomorrow, and it's always a very popular show every month. Now, Lisa, tell us again where people, how is the book, the latest book that Horses in the Morning is in, your latest book, what was it called again?
It's called The Fame Equation, and, you know, I get I have a mystery series, and the Horses in the Morning crew have made 2 out of the 3 books, it's been
absolutely have been the
fabulous.
Stars, the celebrities on almost every page.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And you know, you haven't actually been like a victim or a murderer yet. None of the Horses
I
in the Morning
I keep telling you, I want
been.
Jamie to be the murderer.
Well, and Jamie has asked me to be the murderer, but maybe at some point in the future. The current one is called The Fame Equation, and it's set outside of Nashville, Tennessee, and my protagonist, horse trainer Kat Enright, she always stumbles over these dead bodies, and she's got a possibly psychic horse, and she's got a wacky crew of riding students and barn helpers, but she always seems to get implicated in the murders and has to kind of extricate herself from some kind of pending disaster. So,
yeah, if this girl shows up to board at your barn, kick her the hell out. Don't let her in because something bad's going to happen.
Yeah. She's Kat Enright is she kind of brings some trouble along with her, but it's a lot of fun to write. And I actually, you know, I get to like kill off the people who are rude to me. So
that's everybody's dream.
It is, you know, just never be mean to somebody who writes fiction. So it's a lot of fun. The books are selling really, really well. I'm working on the 4th book. Don't have a title yet, but will soon.
And I heard that the books were doing very well. I heard
they
it
are. They've been optioned for film and television. So there's a great possibility that you might get to see my characters and my horse characters on TV.
Does that mean the film crew will be showing up at the studio here for Horses in the
Well,
Morning?
Probably.
Oh, good.
You know, okay. Probably. But I think they'd be more interested in Scooter.
That's probably true.
You know, there's a yearling filly named Gigi, and she's kind of an airhead in the book. And you know, Scooter could, if we had the right shot, he could maybe pass for a yearling filly.
Yeah, you know, or we duct tape certain parts.
There you go.
Poor Scooter.
Poor Scooter.
All right, now I think it's time for this.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right, it is time for Horse Nation. Leslie Wiley. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for stopping by. And, you know, because I haven't mentioned it in the last 5 minutes, Scooter's video is doing pretty good.
That is what I hear.
He's more famous than all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking about earlier in the show. He's up to 5.6 million views.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's been shared to my Facebook page by people who don't know it's my pony.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it going to his head? Is he getting a little
yes.
big for his britches
yes,
out there?
Yes, he is. Yeah. He actually. We're thinking about running him for president. What do you think? Will you get behind the campaign?
I would vote for him.
Me too.
If you put him and Dolly Parton on together on a ticket, man.
Oh,
the Scooter Dolly ticket? That's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Yeah, I think that's great. I love that idea. Well, we are
here. Just a running joke around here is Dolly Parton.
Yes.
for president.
I think she'd make a great president. There'd never be a war again. She'd just sweet them all to death with apple pie.
Absolutely.
Yep. Sing them a song. Well, let's talk a little bit about a couple of the things that were on. You had a couple of great lists on Horse Nation last week. And one of them was because we used to own a big boarding stable. We had about 25, 30 horses and way too many teenagers. And it was 12 ways to get kicked out of the boarding barn, written by Kristen. And I can tell you what, these hit home with me.
Now, I've never been kicked out of a boarding barn, but I've run a boarding barn before, and I've fantasized about kicking
now,
a few
Now, Lisa,
folks.
You said you were kicked out. What happened?
I was kicked out. I was training Appaloosa horses professionally, and I left to go to the National Appaloosa Show and was gone, and we hit a couple other shows. I was gone for maybe 4 or 5 weeks, and I came back, and in the process, the barn had been sold, and we were padlocked out.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my goodness.
I came back from being on the road out after a month at like at 2:30 in the morning, and there were padlocks all
Didn't
over the barn.
Didn't anybody think
and
to
gates.
Tell you?
No. 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 It was
no press release.
Wow. That's epic.
It was.
So what did you do? How did that story end?
Well, I knew of a place where the fencing was loose. They had some chain link fencing, and we peeled that back, and I turned the horses loose in the indoor arena and waited for the new owner to show up in the morning. Not what you wanted to do when you had been on the road for a month and were dog tired, but you know.
Nobody told her that you existed?
No.
Oh, there's this other border you might want to know about.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, they had like kicked out all the borders, and it became a private Arabian training facility.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I like number one here. You were late on your board payment every single month. We had a few of those. You know, we had it written in our contract, and we made sure we had a contract with everybody. And there were a couple times over the years that we actually ended up taking the horse because they wouldn't pay.
Oh, wow.
And we had it in our contract. If you didn't pay for 3 months in a row, we owned the horse. So we would have to then sell the horse to get our money back. And you never sold the horse for what you could get your money back, because for some reason, people never gave up the good horses. So
pay the board bill on those.
Yeah.
That sounds like a bad deal for you.
Now, the next one, Leslie, hit home. And we have all done this, though, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell everybody what it is.
Turning on the water and forgetting to turn it off.
Oh, I've done this so many times at our own farm here.
I have too.
Yeah.
I love the way Kristen phrases this. Thanks to you, the boarding facility now has lakefront property and a dry well.
True. That is just so true.
And if you're paying for water, if you're in city water and do that,
that's an $800 water bill.
Yeah, exactly. What else we have, Leslie?
Oh, actually, and I just wanted to clarify something. I actually just said Kristen, but it was actually another one of our writers, Maria, who wrote this.
Oh, okay.
She's quite clever. Kristen's quite clever as well, so I get them mixed up sometimes. So many clever writers.
So what other good ones what other ones hit home with you, Leslie, on this list?
Oh gosh. Forgetting to turn the lights off. That's
yeah,
one.
That's a good one.
Not cleaning up. Oh my goodness. Yes. Yeah. It's like, come on, guys. Sweep. I'm not your mom.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Forgetting to close the gates, another big one.
Yeah, that's kind of important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very important.
With the horses running around the road. It's never good.
Yeah. I like number 12. You call yourself a horse whisperer and try to train other boarders' horses when they aren't around to tell you to shove off.
Yeah. Drama llama. That's what she calls it. The drama llama.
Yeah.
You'd love to get all up in your fellow boarders' business, especially when no one was asking for your opinion. That's always fun.
And they're always, those people are always talking to the other boarders, trying to get some kind of mutiny going. You know, that the owner of the barn, now why they board there, I'm not sure, because they hate every minute of it, but they don't leave either. They're the ones that actually pay their bill on time just so they can hang around and create more drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The one number six hits home for me too, that you bring your five obnoxious horse hating dogs with you to the barn every time. The no dogs rule doesn't apply to you because they're service dogs in training. That is so true.
Yeah, we had a couple instances where we said you just can't bring your dog. I mean, I'm sorry, we're horse people, but your dog doesn't get along with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it keeps trying to eat the chickens. You can't bring it out. No more dog. Yeah. And then they get pissed and they leave the next month. That's what happens to those.
Yeah.
Now, I like the other one. 10 things adult horse people are tired of hearing. Okay. And the first one applies to me. Go ahead and say it, everybody. Go ahead and say it.
You should probably stop talking about your horse like it's a child.
I have not mentioned Scooter in the last 2 minutes. I have not.
No, you haven't. That's very good, Glenn.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Must be going through withdrawal or something.
There was an episode.
Celebrity child.
What was the episode, Jennifer? I don't know if you guys watch Big Bang Theory, but there was an episode where Wallowitz goes to the International Space Station as an astronaut. And when he gets back, he will not stop talking about his trip to space. And that Jennifer said, you're getting to that point, Glenn, with Scooter. People are getting sick of hearing you talk about Scooter, so maybe just lay off on Scooter. So,
never.
He's running for president. Then we'll have to talk about him all the time.
Yeah,
that's right. Almost as much as Trump likes talking about himself. All right, what are some of the others here? This is the list of 10 things adult horse people are tired of hearing.
Yeah. Let's see. You know, imagine how much money you'd have if you didn't have horses. Although that's something I think about sometimes. I, you know, sometimes make little lists in my head of like things I could own if I didn't have a horse, which of course, you know, isn't even an option because you would just be miserable. But, you know,
exactly.
But couldn't you say this about children and you know, everything else in your life too?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we'd all have, you know, we could give up if we gave up our, you know, imagine how much money you'd have if you just didn't have a house or a car and, you know.
If you didn't eat, you know.
If you didn't
exactly.
Eat. Yeah, it's not, it's an invalid question, I think. Do you really need to post pictures of your horse constantly on Facebook?
Yes.
In fact, yes.
And
like,
videos.
What else would you post video pictures of? Like, food. I hate it when people are just posting photos of food on faces. Like, come on, sunsets.
They're how boring is that?
Way better.
Yes.
That's right. All right. And then, what the last question? What else do you do with yourself beside horses? Pretty much nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which does kind of make me feel, you know, like a loser sometimes, actually, when you think about it.
No.
No.
It just shows how out of touch the person who's asking the question is.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
Hey, Leslie, I was thinking about this earlier. We were talking about how, speaking of Scooter, but this relates back to you, actually. We were talking about how Scooter, you know, the Most Interesting Man commercials?
God, you brought Scooter up again.
I did.
I'm going to start. We're going to turn this into a drinking game.
This relates back to you. I'm trying to tie it back to you and Lady Martha.
Go on.
So we should do the Most Interesting Scooter commercials, like the Most Interesting Pony in the World commercials. But you should also do the Most Interesting Yank in the World, because you get to do so many different things that I can see a whole series of videos with that. And by the way, I haven't heard back from Lady Martha.
Open. Oh yeah. Well, she's flits about, so she'll get back to you.
Okay.
She's got a lot on her plate,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
Partying.
A lot of drinking to do. Now you are also working on a series here coming up that's going to be coming out soon, right?
I've already put out one edition. I love reading old IOC, International Olympic Committee reports. They're so in detail and they're so wildly entertaining. And this equestrian sports have changed so dramatically over the past century that it's a fascinating read. With this being an Olympic year, I thought I'd start going back through some of the old IOC reports.
Where do you find those?
That was my question.
They're online. It's public domain. You can find them on the Olympics site. Yeah. And photos. And I mean, it was a different era back then. So my first edition of this, had a look at the Stockholm Olympics in 1912, which was this was back in the day when there were still sports on the roster like lawn tennis, tug of war, yachting.
Tug of war?
Oh my goodness.
Yes. That was an Olympic sport.
I didn't know that.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. And this was the first year that eventing, or some precursor of eventing, distant relative, they called it military, was introduced to the Olympics.
Because it really was all military guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really was all military guys. And they had to be riding military service horses, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the format was so different from, now we've got dressage, and either, if it's, depending on at the Olympics, it's dressage, cross country, and then show jumping. But for back in 1912, they had it completely flipped. They started out with cross country, which was preceded before they actually even got to the cross country course. This is like, we used to have the long format.
We used to have roads and tracks.
Format times 10. They started out with a 31-mile long distance road ride.
What?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That was what you did before you even got to the cross country course.
Oh no.
Yeah. Well, this is your warm up. This is your warm up. And then they do a cross country course.
On the same day?
On the same day. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I think the greatest danger at this point was going off course. They somewhere along the 31 mile, trail ride you did before your cross country course, the time limit here is, the time limit is, no kidding, 4 hours and 15 minutes for cross country. So people were going off course. You still got, and this was of course in the day where your horse could fall down, you could fall off, you just get back on and keep going. And also they had to, in addition to the extremely long endurance component, the horses were required to carry a minimum of 176 pounds during this phase and the show jumping phase, and they had to be wearing a double bridle.
I'm on your site, Leslie, and I'm looking at some of these pictures. They're just absolutely fascinating, but I'm not seeing anybody even like wearing a helmet. They look like they're wearing some kind of military.
I don't think they had
helmets.
If they did, they would have been leather.
Way later.
Yeah, I know. But I thought in World War One they had some kind of helmet. But
I think they were leather at that point, which really didn't protect anything except
these
shrapnel.
These look like they're wearing like marching band hats.
That's true.
And dressage, I'm assuming, was not as long as it is today.
Actually, the tests were so we've got the cross country day, and then this is humane of them. So day two of this event is a day off. They give the horses a day off.
Well, yeah, after riding 35 miles, you're gonna get
yeah. And then the third day is the steeplechase.
Steeplechase too.
Yeah. The fourth day, this is the third day of jumping, and we haven't even gotten to dressage yet. This is day four, is the show jumping, which they called prize jumping. And then finally on day five, we get to the dressage test, which is called prize riding. And it's about 10 minutes long.
Whoa.
And they it's in their movements called, I think I pulled up the dressage
the
one test.
The first movement was called dragging my horse's ass into the arena because it's just
oh, right? No, you enter the ring at gallop. That's the very first movement, halted X.
There's a lot of dressage horses today that would like that as a first movement because a lot of them end up doing that anyway. So right. Yes.
And then that's eventing. And then we get around to the dressage, you know, straight. They have, at this point, they've got the three Olympic equestrian disciplines that still exist today, eventing, dressage, and show jumping. But both of those were a little different too. For instance, the straight dressage, there was actually jumps in the dressage test. And really? Yes, jumps. And at the end of the test, there was also it was like a test of bravery.
What's a knight with armor there ready to whack you off your horse as you came
I have
out?
No idea what that entailed. I imagine it entailed like shooting guns around the horse, flapping tarps or something at it. You know, I don't know. Whatever. Just you're testing how unflappable this dressage horse is. So I don't think I can think of like no
it
dressage
fired cannons as you were exiting. Yeah. Okay, halted X and.
So I'm thinking if you stay on course and just finish everything, you're going to win this thing.
Yeah. Right. I think that's pretty much how it went. Pretty much how it went.
Oh my God.
And then, the straight show jumping, there were like 30 jumps on the course. Like there were only like 15 jumps, but they like basically jump, but there were 30 jumping efforts. So they basically had to jump all the jumps twice. I have no idea if they repeated the course or if it was like a different course. Can you imagine having to memorize? I mean, it's hard enough for me to keep 10 or 12 jumps in order. Can you imagine having to memorize 30, a course that was 30 jumps long?
Well,
no, I can't. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you didn't go off course in the show jumping, then you would win, right?
I love this line you had in here. The ground, this is 1912 now, the Olympics there, and this is right from the IOC report. The heat was oppressive, and most of the competitors lost weight during the ride, some as much as 4.5 pounds or more. While the saddles grew considerably heavier by absorption from sweat from the horses, because did they use saddle pads back then? They did.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures and they show some kind of pad, but you think that the pad would absorb the sweat and then maybe the saddle would absorb it from the pad.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Boy, yeah. The animal rights people think it's bad now.
Yeah. Yeah, but it looks like maybe the padding was wool or something. I mean, not like the modern day fabrics we have.
Yeah, they'd have, you know, Equigold and these like.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And it also says that the ground was hard. So they did all of this on hard ground, not like the great footing that we have in a lot of places now.
Right.
There were 22 starters, endurance day survivors, most of whom made it around all right. Mm-hmm. Of these, two rode the wrong way and retired. One of them, Lieutenant Lawrence, falling at a grass-covered ditch outside the course, the accident causing a slight concussion of the brain, from which the rider soon recovered, however.
No big deal.
Back on course.
Man,
here's
something.
These reports are detailed. They must be fascinating to read.
I just looked this up. So in the dressage test, you know how I said, you know, they've got to jump some things in the dressage as part of their dressage test. I was like, I wonder how high that, because I was thinking, you know, maybe they just
ground
have to
pole.
Pop over a little too. Because, you know, they're in dressage set. I don't know. But whatever. No. They have to jump 4-3-6 fences over the course of their dressage test.
Oh, wow. That's just like crazy. And as you said, in the full bridles, I mean, I'm just mind-boggled.
Well, if you think about it, though, back then, I mean, we were coming out of the days when dressage was really taught for battle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you would have had to jump stuff in battle, right? So it kind of makes sense that they would have incorporated jumps into the dressage.
Right, right.
And then they got the guy, you know, the knight on the way out that tried to whack him off their horse. So,
yeah, yeah.
That's the dodge and weave movement.
Yeah. yeah. Man. Wow.
See, this would, I tell you what, the cannon at the end at the holodecks, the guy with his lance trying to take you off your horse, this would make dressage exciting again.
Yeah, this is, they should bring this back.
This is a spectator sport then.
This would be true reality television.
That's right. There's a show. We could, the three of us, we call it Combat Dressage.
Combat Dressage. Yeah.
We call
and,
it.
I mean, I would be all for, maybe the endurance test is a little long, but I would be all for bringing back this this eventing format too, because, you know, I always think my horse would be great if we had to do dressage
at the end, because he'd be worn out. That's right.
Yeah. And then in the 1920 Olympics, I'll get to this in my next edition, they just decided to take dressage out of eventing altogether.
Oh, what'd they
They're
put
just
in?
Like, meh. Probably I should have been eventing in 1920.
Yeah, you'd have been out, most eventers would agree with you. A lot of eventers would like to take it out today.
Yeah,
this is true. Can you imagine how fit those horses had to be, though, and the riders?
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, they were military horses and military riders, and back in 1912, cars were really were just coming into play, so they were riding these horses.
Sure.
You know, they were being used in the military.
Yeah.
So probably this was an easy day. They were like, oh, I didn't have to go 50 miles today. Good.
People were shooting at me.
I wasn't carrying like 500 pounds of equipment, too, pulling a cannon. Yeah. This is a great series. I'm glad you're doing this.
Yeah, it is fascinating. It really is.
And what interesting reading about some of the other sports must be, too.
Yeah. I bet that tug of war is really...
They had a pit with alligators, and that's when you lost, that's where you went.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You need to write a book, Leslie.
Seriously, this would be a great book.
Yeah.
Lisa,
yeah.
Get on that. Steal it from Leslie. She doesn't have time. You can steal it from her. Well, Leslie, this has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us again. We really appreciate you stopping by. Did I mention Scooter's the most popular pony in the world? Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a shot of whiskey here. Really, but
suddenly you need an excuse. We're still not over. We're at 29,956.
Yeah. Well, we can't just go off the air until we reach 30,000.
We're going to be here all. I don't think we're going to make it in the next 5 minutes. Yeah,
Well, Kristen jumped in and she did Horse Nation's part. She posted it on Facebook.
Oh, did she?
Demand.
Well, good for her. Thank you, Kristen. We appreciate that.
Awesome.
Also, I did want to mention too, Leslie, two things for you. Jennifer is going to be sending you an article to post on Wednesday that I think you're really going to like. We worked on it over the weekend. And it's,
don't you like how Glenn just assumes that Leslie's going to post it?
Oh, she will. She always posts what I send her. And then we are going to be doing coverage of Road to the Horse next week. So we'll be sending you some things about that coming up,
That's
too.
That's so exciting.
So we'll be doing 8 hours of live coverage there. So we'll keep you informed on that as well.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, girl. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
Are you still in town? Or are you back in England with your friend, Lady Martha?
I'm in town this week.
Okay, good. All right. Good. Thanks, Leslie. We'll see you.
Bye.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Isn't she a trip?
She is awesome.
She's a trip.
Yes.
She's been doing this show with us we figured it out. It's been 5 years.
Really?
Every Monday for 5 years.
Well, that's some dedication.
Yeah, we haven't run out of things to talk. We pick on her most weeks. I don't know why she even comes back. If you haven't gotten the chance, and I'm going to put an extra plug in for her, to read her Lady Martha series that she did over on Eventing Nation, just go to Eventing Nation and search Lady Martha. She is going to win prizes for that series she did. It was the best written series, and it was hilarious. Very, very funny. Very, very funny. Oh, and I just got, look, a listener just chimed in. My counter now shows 29,982.
Yippee.
We need 18 more. Okay, we're going to keep talking.
Yeah.
We're going to keep talking. How, you got time?
More.
Are you good?
I'm good.
All right. So this is it. We're going to keep talking until we hit it. So everybody has to go that's listening and post it on their Facebook pages.
Yes.
We need to hit 30,000 before we go off the air. So let's see. We got a couple more news stories. Irish Rider won the Nations Cup in Wellington over the weekend. Dara Kenny, one of Ireland, riding Red Star D'Argent. I don't know how to say that.
D'Argent.
He won $216,000 over the weekend.
I wonder if that's U.S. money. I guess it would be.
Yeah, it would be U.S. money. So yeah. He did pretty well at the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center. He won a 5-rider jump-off with the fastest clear round. His portion, I guess, of the money was $71,000. Still not bad for first place. It'll help pay some of the bills down there in Wellington. And then a rider from Colombia, Roberta Turan, won second place. It was the first time in a while that we've seen anything out of Colombia. He won $43,000. And the team competition, Ireland won that as well. So Ireland won the team with the U.S. in second.
Go Ireland.
And then Colombia won third. It was the first time ever in event history that Colombia has placed and come in the top three in the Nations Cup.
Good for them. That's awesome.
Yeah, so they have some great up-and-coming riders out of South America. I know South America is doing some fun things in show jumping, so good for Colombia.
Absolutely. Like to see the sport grow.
Now, you had a story, too, that Misty, I know you're listening in. Can you keep an eye on the count for us and let me know on Facebook? Thank you very much. I love it when the listeners help us with this stuff. Talk to us about the Russian horse.
Yeah, you know, the Shawalski horse, the only horse that has never really been domesticated. They're considered the only true wild horse. They've got 6 of those horses who were born at a reserve in southern France are now spending their first winter in a flagship project that Russia is doing on a game preserve. And so they are hoping eventually to get 100 of these horses reintroduced into the wild in protected areas. And the problem with just turning them back loose is that they were afraid that the mares would you know, kind of drift off from the herd and then mate with the neighborhood stallion and dilute the gene pool. So they've created these huge preserves where the horses are contained on hundreds of thousands of acres, and really to try and grow that species of horse, which at one point was in danger of becoming extinct. So if you've never seen one of these horses, I live here in Nashville, Tennessee, and we've got a few at the Nashville Zoo, and they're about 13 hands. They're dun colored. They're very prehistoric looking. They look a little bit like fjord horses.
Do they have the Roman noses?
They do. They have the Roman noses and the little short manes and the short tails. Are very stocky horses. But if you look at them, they just don't look quite like a domesticated horse.
They kind of look like cave drawings.
If you painted them, I think they would look body-wise a lot more like a zebra.
Yes, they do. And Jennifer is right. They look a lot like the cave paintings that you see. And they did originate in China. There are 2,000 of these kinds of horses in the world today. And, you know, they're descendants of just 12 of the Shawalski horses. And one of them was a mare that they found in Mongolia, who was kind of the foundation mare. Her name was Orlitsa. And so I think it's great that we're around the world are taking the time to preserve this species of horse, because they're the only true wild horses left in the world. Everything else is considered feral in that they're descended from formerly domesticated horses.
Misty just gave us an update. We are at 29,991. So we got nine more. We have to keep talking. Come on, 9 people, she says.
Keep posting. I mean, message your friends.
It'd be really bad if we got stuck now. We were on the air for 24 hours, wouldn't it? Hey, Wendy, I can't do the driving show this afternoon. You're going to have to come on our show. We'll just kind of do it over here. All right, I got a list for you. And this is something we do every month. It's called Study Show. We actually didn't get to last month, so this is last month's Study Show list. And what I do here, Lisa, you're going to like this one, is I just go to Google and I put in Study Show and I look at the last month. And these are the ridiculous studies that we spend our money on, a lot of it government money.
I'm sure, yes.
Okay, and I'm just going to give you the headlines, all right?
Okay.
So studies show couples wait until after the holidays to divorce, with filings peaking in March.
That's so, this month?
Yep, so if you made it this far, good chance you're going to be divorced by the end of the month. studies show we should cancel Christmas.
Seriously? Oh, my goodness.
studies show that dogs are actually just for Christmas.
Really?
I have no idea what that one was. New studies show vaping could cause popcorn lung.
Then I guess we would have to know what popcorn lung is.
Yeah. And, you know, I always thought, you know, isn't vaping just another form of smoking, really, when you think about it?
Yes.
I have to thought about that. Oh, yeah. We're up to 994. Six more to go.
I'll talk slow.
I'll talk really slow to get through this. Studies show giving is psychologically beneficial.
Well, of course it is. Don't you feel great when you give somebody something?
I know. And we had to spend probably $100,000 on that study.
Well, or $100 million.
Yeah, they could have asked us and we said, yeah, it feels good.
Yeah.
Studies show couch potato lifestyle influence poor brain function in later years.
Boy, so, that was worth several $1 million.
So if you sit on the couch and watch TV, you're probably going to have poor brain function is what that
yeah.
says.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one. Studies show the close ties between exercise and beer.
Really?
I really should have read that one, actually.
Actually, I know several marathon runners or long distance runners, and they love beer. I guess it's because it's full of carbohydrates.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And alcohol.
Yeah, and, I like the next one, Glenn.
Yes, and this is something for all you single, and I know we have single women in the audience, and you're looking for a guy, okay? You're looking for a guy. You want to find one that has one or two dogs, because studies show dog ownership boosts men's sex appeal.
And this goes for single men, too, you know, who are trying to find their perfect woman. You know, just get a bunch of dogs and walk down the street with them.
That's right.
You'll be a babe magnet.
All right. I only got it happens though. I mean
it does.
Studies show men with dogs are babe magnets.
Yes.
$100,000 you can probably get from the government to do that one.
Yeah.
Studies apparently show coffee prevents diseases.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
Really? I've never been a coffee drinker.
I just can't do the taste. I just never got past the taste.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Update coming in from Misty. Come on, Misty. Oh, we're three away. 997. Oh, wait a minute. Oh. Another update. This is fun. This is like the telethon, the Jerry Lewis telethon.
It is.
Yeah. Come on, Missy, type faster. You know how you see the little thing on Facebook where it's waving up and down the little dots? That's what I'm watching. Studies show happiness won't help you live longer.
Well, darn.
I know. I thought it showed it did help you live
that
longer.
That makes me very unhappy.
Oh, she says talk slower. Okay.
Oh, talk slower.
Studies show no drill techniques can treat tooth decay just as well, study finds. That made no sense at all. Studies show monkeys' caloric restriction. Some of these titles are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Who put this in here? Studies show why ending text message in a period could be a bad idea. I did read that. Oh, 999, one away.
One more person.
Woohoo! Because I'm on the last one.
One more person.
Studies show the way you punctuate text messages reveals how sincere you are in communication. Did you read that one, by the way, when it came out?
I did. And see, you know, I'm the grammar nut and the grammar queen, and so I have to like autocorrect everything and I have to end a sentence in a period.
It showed though that studies show that exclamation points are better. It shows you're more sincere.
Well,
and I end everything in exclamation points. So I am the most sincere guy you're going to ever meet.
You probably are.
Oh,
probably
Misty are said, well, you could always talk about Scooter while waiting.
Yeah. I don't know. And you missed one, Glenn. It says that the study shows that Tylenol doesn't work so well for flu.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So if anybody has the flu.
30,000. Woo!
We're there.
We made
awesome.
It. Yay.
Awesome.
What do I don't have anything ready to play. I don't have anything fun ready to play for 30,000.
Well, big round of applause.
All right. Let's everybody applaud at the same time. Yay.
Yay.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for that. We made it 30,000 on air.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Wow, we went up 150 during the show. That was pretty good.
That's fabulous.
You know, I think Horse Nation helped us out a little bit there.
I think they helped out a lot.
They have like 90,000 on their page, and I think the scooter video is finally dying. So
you just have to come up with something else.
I know. I got to do this. I got to do the scooter series.
He needs to wear like a head cam or something.
Oh, that'd be funny. We need to put a GoPro on him.
All we would see is grass, trees.
True.
Bags of carrots. Yeah.
I like the 101 scooter videos idea.
Yes.
That's pretty good. I like that. We're going to have to think about that. The problem is he doesn't do much.
But you're not giving him a chance.
You think?
Yeah.
We got to work on his
tricks. He's going to step up. I have no doubt.
We got to work on his tricks. And we'll keep them all short, like 15 seconds.
Yeah, but it could be like, you know, Scooter can go through a creek, or Scooter can climb up a tree, or Scooter, you know.
We got to get him in the pool. He'd probably like that.
Yeah.
The problem is I'm not too sure the landlord would like that.
Yeah, it's getting him out of the pool I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
There is that. You can always call the fire department. They're pretty good at that.
Yeah, there we go.
He'd go in the pool. Scooter definitely go in the pool. And you know what's funny is everybody's going, oh, he's bathing himself. No, he's not. He's getting dirty is what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then he hates to shower, by the way. He hates to get a bath. Figure that out.
Well, he's a pony.
Yep. Well, thank you, Misty, for your help. We really appreciate you keeping count for us.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much, Lisa, for hanging around and sticking around to the end of the 30,000. You can find Lisa at?
LisaWysocki.com. It's WYSOCKY.com.
Go buy her books. They're fun, not just because we're in them. I see, though, that Scooter might be in the next one.
Scooter is definitely going to be in the next one.
I'm seeing him make an appearance because,
the most famous pony in the world.
That's right.
He's got to be in it.
You know, would you like to sell 6 million books?
I would love to sell 6 million
books.
There
you go.
Yes. I think my publisher would, too.
Just add Scooter.
I'll add Scooter.
You know, that TV show would definitely get picked up if you sold 6 million in the next
run.
There
you go.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks so much, Lisa. We'll be back with the Endurance Show tomorrow.
Thanks,
see you, everybody. Thanks, Scooter.